Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond.
And Bob Pert.
Winnie Thompson.
From the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. We are broadcasting from St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America. Today is June 7th, 2019, and on Sunday, June 9th, is Pentecost Sunday. So after we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we will talk about Pentecost. And also yesterday, June 6th, was the 75th anniversary of D-Day. So before we end our broadcast, we will share some news about a Catholic veteran who took part in D-Day. So we will now pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us for the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Okay, some thoughts about Pentecost. Pentecost always occurs 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and 10 days after his ascension into heaven. Because Easter is a movable feast without a fixed date, and Pentecost depends on the timing of Easter, Pentecost can fall anywhere between May 10th and June 13th. The timing of these feasts is also where Catholics get the concept of Novena, that is 9 days of prayer, because in Acts 1, Mary and the apostles prayed together continuously for 9 days after the ascension leading up to Pentecost. Traditionally, the church prays the Novena to the Holy Spirit and the days before Pentecost. The name of the day itself is derived from the Greek word Pentecosta, meaning 50th. The reason Pentecost falls 50 days after Easter also comes from a parallel Jewish holiday, Shavuot, which falls 50 days after Passover. Shavuot is sometimes called the Festival of Weeks, referring to the 7 weeks since Passover. Originally, a harvest feast, Shavuot, now commemorates the sealing of the Old Covenant on Mount Sinai when the Lord revealed the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai. Every year, the Jewish people renew their acceptance of the gift of the Torah on this feast. In the Christian tradition, Pentecost is a celebration of the person of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles, Mary, and the first followers of Jesus who were gathered together in the upper room. A strong driving wind filled the room where they were gathered, and tongues of fire came to rest on their heads, allowing them to speak in different languages so that they could understand each other. It was such a strange phenomenon that some people thought the Christians were just drunk. But Peter pointed out that it was only the morning and that the phenomenon was caused by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also gave the apostles the other gifts and fruits necessary to fulfill the Great Commission, that is, to go out and preach the gospel to all nations. It fulfills the New Testament promise from Christ, that is by Luke chapter 24, verses 46-49, that the apostles will be clothed with power before they will be sent out to spread the gospel. The main event of Pentecost, the strong driving wind and tongues of fire, takes place in Acts chapter 2, verse 13, though the events immediately follow Peter's homily, the baptism of thousands, continue through verse 41. It was right after Pentecost that Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, preached his first homily to Jews and other non-believers, in which he opened the scriptures of the Old Testament, showing how the prophet Joel prophesied events and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He also tells the people that Jesus they crucified is the Lord and was raised from the dead, which cuts them to the heart. When they ask what they should do, Peter exhorts them to repent of their sins and to be baptized. According to the account in Acts, about 3,000 people were baptized following Peter's sermon. For this reason, Pentecost is considered the birthday of the church. Peter, the first pope, preaches for the first time and converts thousands of new believers. The apostles and believers for the first time were united by a common language and a common zeal and purpose to go and preach the gospel. Pentecost vestments and customs around are quite interesting. Typically, priests will wear red vestments on Pentecost, symbolic of the burning fire of God's love and the tongues of fire that descended on the apostles. However, in some parts of the world, Pentecost is also referred to as Whit Sunday or White Sunday, referring to the white vestments that are typically worn in Britain and Ireland. The white is symbolic of the dove of the Holy Spirit and typical of the vestments the catechumens desire in wearing baptism wear on that day. An Italian Pentecost tradition is the scattered rose leaves from the ceiling of the churches to recall the miracle of the fiery tongues. And in some places in Italy, Pentecost is sometimes called Pascha Rosatum, Easter roses. In France, it is a tradition to blow trumpets during Mass to recall the sound of the driving wind of the Holy Spirit. In Asia, it is typical to have an extra service called genuflection, during which long poems and prayers are recited. And in Russia, Mass goers often carry flowers or green branches during Pentecost services.
This is from the Treatise on the Holy Spirit by St. Basil the Great, Bishop. The work of the Holy Spirit. The titles given to the Holy Spirit must surely stir the soul of anyone who hears them and make him realize that they speak of nothing less than the Supreme Being. Is he not called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, the steadfast Spirit, the guiding Spirit? But his principal and most personal title is the Holy Spirit. To the Spirit, all creatures turn in their need for sanctification. All living things seeking him according to their ability. His breath empowers each to achieve its own natural end. The Spirit is a source of holiness, a spiritual light, and he offers his own light to every mind to help it in its search for truth. By nature, the Spirit is beyond the reach of our mind, but we can know him by his goodness. The power of the Spirit fills the whole universe, but he gives himself only to those who are worthy, acting in each according to the measure of his faith. Simple in himself, the Spirit is manifold in his mighty works. The whole of his being is present to each individual. The whole of his being is present everywhere. Though shared in by many, he remains unchanged. His self-giving is no loss to him. Like the sunshine, which permeates all the atmosphere, spreading over land and sea, and yet is enjoyed by each person as though it were for him alone. So the Spirit pours forth his grace in full measure, sufficient for all, and yet is present as though exclusively to everyone who can receive him. To all creatures that share in him, he gives a delight limited only by their own nature, not by his ability to give. The Spirit raises our hearts to heaven, guides the steps of the weak, and brings to perfection those who are making progress. He enlightens those who have been cleansed from every stain of sin and makes them spiritual by communion with himself. As clear, transparent substances become very bright when the sunlight falls on them and shine with a new radiance, so also Souls in whom the Spirit shines become spiritual themselves and a source of grace for others. From the Spirit comes foreknowledge of the future, understanding of the mysteries of faith, insight into the hidden meaning of Scripture, and other special gifts. Through the Spirit, we become citizens of heaven. We enter into eternal happiness and abide in God. Through the Spirit, we acquire a likeness to God. Indeed, we attain what is beyond our most sublime aspirations. We become God.
We'd like to share you a story about, it's from Catholic News Agency. It's about a Catholic veteran who took part in D-Day and was buried at Arlington National Cemetery yesterday, June 6th, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. It was written by Christine Roussel. Sergeant Carl Mann Sr. died March 30 this year at the age of 96. Almost a month after his son, Father Gordon Mann, died of leukemia at the age of 59. Both of the man's lives were changed forever on June 6, decades apart. For the patriarch of the Mann family, his life-altering June 6 came in 1944. When he was part of the second wave of soldiers who stormed Omaha Beach as part of the D-Day invasion. Gordon's was in 1992 when he was ordained a priest of the Diocese of Evansville. According to Miles and Carl Mann II, two of Carl Sr.'s sons, nobody realized the significance of the overlap dates until they began planning their father's burial at Arlington National Cemetery, which was also held June 6. The brothers do not believe this happened by chance. It's not a coincidence, I promise you, Miles told CNA. I'm not good enough to try to coordinate anything like this and put all these pieces together. But God is perfect, and that's how it happens. Their father lived his life by a simple motto: God, country, and family. While in the army, Mann would take time to pray and evangelize, even in the face of death and in the midst of bloodshed. Mann would baptize soldiers in the middle of battle. Miles said he was basically just the hands and feet of Jesus to do that. Carl II said that his father was willing and able to baptize on the battlefield as he knew that he was spiritually ready to die and wanted to make sure others were as well. He just knew there was nothing in the world more important than baptism, said Miles, not even his own life. Some soldiers came to know Christ in their dying moments because of Mann's battlefield prayers. His buddies would ask him what he was doing because they saw him kneeling down praying in the middle of the battle. And a lot of those men didn't know who Jesus was, said Miles. They would ask Mann to teach them how to pray, and he would reply, "Just listen." He'd finish the prayer, and then they would finish whatever skirmish or battle or event they were in the middle of. Some of them made it, some of them didn't, but the ones that did not make it, they got to meet Jesus through him. Initially, Sergeant Mann was reluctant to discuss his military experience and would often make jokes relating to his service. He would say, "Boy, I couldn't wait to get off that Omaha beach. We were out of hot dogs and the ice cream was melting," said Miles. That all changed about a decade ago after he was asked by a grandchild on which side of World War II he had fought. Realizing that history was at risk of being forgotten, he began to open up more about his service and shared his story at high schools and to his family. In addition to Normandy, Mann also served in the Battle of the Bulge and assisted in the liberation of two concentration camps. He was awarded 3 Purple Hearts and 7 Bronze Stars, which enabled him to be buried at Arlington. Sergeant Mann's priorities of God, country, and family will leave a lasting legacy after his death. I think that I could give one perspective on it. Its dad's statement was this: "You know, my brother is him," said Carl II, gesturing around. "My brothers were willing to die for freedom," he said, "but there was only one who died for our sins, and that was his faith." Okay. Now we'll pray the Catena Legionis. Do you want to lead? Minnie?
Together, who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us to have recourse to thee.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the most blessed Virgin Mary, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Spirit.
Amen.
We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers in our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's legions of angels,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saints Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor. A faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. A courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls. A faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire, to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for listening. We welcome your comments. Please send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, it's legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hokesin, Delaware, United States of America. Tony McGinley of Aramis Communications, AJ Loporto, who provided the music, and all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. God bless.